It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, state lawmakers in the Assembly have clashed over a set of criminal justice bills. We'll talk about the proposed legislation and the debate among lawmakers. First, some people say you feast with your eyes first. If that's the case, our Food Friday guest has got it down. Her Instagram feed is filled with a stream of beautiful meals, desserts, and snacks, all recipes developed, styled, and photographed by her. But just because the food looks pretty doesn't mean the recipes have to be complicated. Her latest cookbook focuses on meals that can be filling, healthy, and fast. Tegan Gerard is the blogger behind Half-Baked Harvest. Her second cookbook is called Half-Baked Harvest Super Simple. More than 125 recipes for instant, overnight, meal-prepped, and easy comfort foods. Tegan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
We have an origin story that you share in your book. You came from a big family, and you started cooking for them at an early age. Talk about how that set the stage for your cooking.
I came from a big family, and dinners were always really crazy when I was a kid, and we would eat super late at 9:30, and I kind of just got sick of it one day and started cooking to help out a little bit, and I just never stopped. So, it really provided an outlet for me, and it was fun, and I enjoyed it, so never stopped.
Yeah, some people might have taken that experience and turned away from cooking as a chore. You clearly had fun with it, though, it sounds like.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun with it. It's I enjoy putting recipes together and making them look delicious. And it's a good creative outlet for me. I do well with it.
And you like to create recipes that aren't just good and fairly easy. They always seem to look really good. How do you pull that off?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, people, we all eat with our eyes first. So if anything doesn't look that appetizing, you're not going to be very excited to make it. So I always try to incorporate some colors into my recipes and, things that are going to pop out to the eye and really scream, eat me. So.
And speaking of inspiration for recipes, it seems like you're always creating new recipes for your book, for your blog. Where do you get your inspiration from to find new and different twists?
Yeah, so I have five brothers, and we all kind of travel a lot, and so travel is a big inspiration for me. But everyone in my family, from my brothers to my cousins, and friends, everybody's always sending me photos of dishes that they're getting from literally around the world. So I get a lot of inspiration from family, and really the seasons as well. I love to cook seasonally, and right now it's winter, so you'll see a lot of cozier recipes and all the things that we're really craving. And then in the spring and summer it's lighter, so I get a lot of inspiration from the seasons and try to get creative with the ingredients that are available to everyone.
Now, I got to ask, when you get together with your siblings, is there an assumption that Tegan's going to cook?
Oh, yeah. It's not really. There's just no question. Tegan's cooking always. So, yeah.
Talking to Tegan Gerard from Half-Baked Harvest. Her new cookbook is Half-Baked Harvest Super Simple. More than 125 recipes for instant, overnight, meal-prepped, and easy comfort foods. Tegan, before we dig into some recipes that you've shared with us, can you give us some basics, things to have in our kitchen, our pantry, so that we're maybe ready to go with key recipes on a moment's notice?
Yeah, sure. So I use a lot of pesto in my recipes, because you can either make it yourself or you can buy a really great jar of pesto at the grocery store. And that adds so much flavor to just a simple pasta, a soup, anything. So I love to keep pesto on hand. I love to have beans on hand for an easy protein that is in your pantry always. And let's see what else, canned tomatoes to do a quick soup recipe or a quick pasta recipe. And any kind of dried goods, rice, pasta, those are all essentials for me. And of course, good olive oils and vinegars to make really great dressings and sauces. And I mean, I could go on and on, but those are my staples for sure.
Now, a lot of people have been in this situation. I know I have. We get home from work and we want to have dinner made in a half hour or so. What are some of the things you like to do in advance for that scenario? Stuff where you can go from zero to meal in 30 minutes or less.
Yeah, I think it really helps if you could take some time on Saturday or Sunday. I know everybody says this, but take some time on Saturday or Sunday and kind of plot out, or not even plot out, just prep some food, just whether that's chopping vegetables so you can easily throw together a quick dinner, or even making a recipe kind of start to finish so that all you have to do is reheat it or getting the base going. It really helps if you can take a couple hours on Saturday or Sunday to prep for the week ahead. And maybe that's just you're prepping three meals and you're going to, you know, wing it the other two nights or whatever. But it really helps to just have a start so that you don't come home completely overwhelmed, not knowing what you're going to make. I think that really helps.
Let's check out a recipe. You've shared a few with us, and we've got them online at WPR.org/Food Friday. This one sounds like a great fit for a cold Wisconsin day, a broccoli cheddar soup, but then with some seasoned pretzels sprinkled on top of it. Talk us through this this recipe. I love broccoli cheddar soup. What goes into yours?
Yeah, who doesn't love broccoli cheddar soup, right? It's the ultimate comfort food. Yeah, I mean, that one is really one of my favorite soups. There's broccoli, there's cheddar, it's creamy, it's super delicious. There's lots of fresh herbs like thyme. But yeah, the pretzels kind of really set it apart from something different. And they have like some sesame seeds on there, and they really give the soup a nice crunch with every bite.
That sounds really good. And actually, in the intro to your book, you mentioned that some of your recipes have a good amount of cheese, which we're going to embrace mm-hmm. here in Wisconsin. What are some of your other favorite ways to integrate food into your, or cheese, sorry, into your cooking?
Oh, man. I think that if you looked at any of my recipes, you would see it's very easy for me to incorporate cheese. I mean, I love to use it to make soups creamy. I love to use it to do, you know, top pastas with. Pretty much every, you know, way that you would think to enjoy cheese. I'm using cheese, so.
And let's talk about that. I love that pretzel topping idea, because I've made broccoli cheese soup before, but this is an example of a really simple thing you can do. You're just kind of sauteing pretzel bits with some flavor to add that extra element. Do you look for that kind of thing, that little grace note that kind of pushes it beyond the normal recipe?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really nice to, you know, broccoli cheddar soup, we all know what that is. It's a pretty basic recipe. It's super delicious. But, like, I always like to twist it and to say to myself, how can I make it a touch more delicious or something that has a different aspect to it to make it new and exciting and fresh so that it's not just another bowl of broccoli cheddar soup, because there's a million and one recipes out there for that. And I want to make sure mine is different and interesting.
It is Food Friday. We're talking to Tegan Girard, blogger at Half Baked Harvest. Her new cookbook is called Half Baked Harvest, Super Simple, more than 125 recipes for instant, overnight, meal prepped, and easy comfort foods. You can find that broccoli soup and a couple other recipes we'll get to at WPR.org/Food Friday. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What are some super simple recipes you like to make? What is your go-to for that not much time to get it done kind of recipe between work and mealtime? You got to get it in quick. Maybe something you make the night before or put in a slow cooker or Instant Pot or whatever you got. And if you're a fan of Half-Baked Harvest, do you have a favorite recipe you've gotten from Tegan over the years? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Coming up, some pizza. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our Food Friday conversation with Tegan Girard. Her blog is called Half-Baked Harvest. We're talking with her about her cookbook. It's called Half-Baked Harvest, Super Simple. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite super simple recipes that you like to make? Is there something that when you're on the clock, you know you can pull together quickly and it's going to be a crowd pleaser? Or something you like to do with some advanced prep, your slow cooker recipe, bake it the night before or the weekend before plan? Do you do that thing that we all say we should do, not everybody does, where you get things ready over the weekend and then it's good to go for the weekdays? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tegan, let's check out another recipe you shared with us from the book. the meanest, greenest pizza. And you say in the book, this is a salad on top of a pizza, basically. Talk us through this one.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we all love pizza so much, myself included. And sometimes we need some greens in our life. So this one's perfect for that. It's got like crispy kale and it's topped with a little spicy sesame arugula. So it's very different, but it's an extra cheesy green pizza. So you don't have to feel any guilt eating it.
And this is, the greens don't end up cooked on this, right? They go on after the pizza's cooked.
There's a little bit of both. So the kale goes on top, and as the pizza is cooking in the hot oven, it gets crispy, so it's basically like kale chips at that point, which means that, like, you know, none of the bitterness is there. It turns really delicious and salty. And then right when the pizza comes out of the oven, I like to top it with a little bit of arugula just for a nice, like, spicy touch to the pizza.
That's the topping. Let's look at the dough, because you've got this one recipe that's versatile. You use it for an easy bread dough recipe. You use it for your pizza. Tell us about your magical dough here.
Yeah, that's correct. This dough, everyone is loving this dough. It's a no-knead bread and pizza dough, so you can use it for pizza or you can bake a loaf of bread with it. And it's incredibly simple. It's literally just flour and then yeast, and my secret ingredient is beer, which adds like a really nice flavor to the dough that's very subtle.
And speaking of making stuff in advance, this dough is something we can have just kind of in the fridge for a couple days, in the freezer. Talk about advanced prep and storage of your no-knead dough.
Yeah, definitely. You can. I sometimes keep this dough on hand for 4 to 5 days. Just you can leave it at room temperature. You can keep it in the fridge. It's really important when you're making pizza to make sure your dough, or really any dough that you're working with, is at room temperature before you start working with it. But you can also keep this in the freezer as well for up to like 3 to 4 months, I would say, and then just throw it, or, you know, pull it out whenever you feel like you want to have pizza that night and let it thaw on the counter for a couple hours.
If we don't have kale and or arugula around at the stores this time of year, do you have other greens you'd like to sub in?
Sure. I feel like you can always get your hands on some spinach and you could easily replace the kale with spinach. And if you don't, you know, love arugula, you can also just leave it off the pizza and, you know, top it with some fresh basil.
And then another one of your pizzas, you've got some squash, I think, as a topping. And that's not something everybody thinks of as a pizza topping. How does it work?
Yeah, I love putting butternut squash on pizza. And I made it really, really easy for us with this one because butternut squash can be kind of a pain to chop up. So all I tell you to do with this recipe is simply take a vegetable peeler and make some really thin, almost like carrot strands. So you just take the vegetable peeler and you run it down the squash, and it creates really thin strands of butternut squash, and it roasts up really nicely on the pizza so it doesn't take as long.
We are talking to Tegan Gerard, blogger at Half Baked Harvest. You might follow her on Instagram. Her new cookbook is called Half Baked Harvest Super Simple. More than 125 recipes for instant, overnight, meal prepped, and easy comfort foods. You can find some of her recipes. She shared a few of them with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. Share your own favorite simple recipes at 800-642-1234. Tegan, you grew up cooking for a big crew. Was there ever an issue with the fussy eater, and did you come up with solutions for that, or was it kind of a like-it-or-lump-it scenario?
Oh, I wish. No, I've got a picky family. They really love their, you know, meat and potatoes. They're very basic. So I'm always kind of trying to sneak new things into their diet, still to this day, and just kind of do it in very subtle ways. So sometimes that's chopping up the vegetables really small, or you know, adding a little extra cheese to cover up the vegetables, all kinds of tricks up my sleeve, yeah.
And did you turn them into vegetable fans over time?
You know, they're slowly getting there. They're getting a lot better, and they're realizing that vegetables can actually be really delicious, especially they are enjoying the ones that are roasted and tossed into pastas and things like that. The salads, I have yet to convince the brothers on the salads fully, but maybe we'll get there someday.
Now, you've got a bigger audience now with Half-Baked Harvest. Do you hear from your fans online that they've used your recipes to maybe convert other people and introduce new ingredients to whoever they're cooking for?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really fun hearing from everyone. We have such an amazing community, hearing everyone's stories about how the recipes have really, affected their lives and changed the way they eat is so exciting. And I love to see the joy that my recipes can bring everyone.
Let's check out another one of those recipes now that you've shared with us. This one, a unique ingredient, spaghetti squash. It's a spaghetti squash Alfredo. I've made in my life really good spaghetti squash and really boring spaghetti squash. Do you have any, before we get into this particular recipe, any tips on making sure we make it right and yummy?
Oh, man. Choose a good spaghetti squash. I think if you're eating bland spaghetti squash, it's probably watery. My guess, you typically a smaller to medium sized spaghetti squash is really nice, and you want to make sure that that'll give you the most flavor, and you want to also make sure that the squash isn't super super heavy, because that probably means that it has a lot of water content. So just try to pick out a nice squash at the store, and definitely use them when they're in season. When they're out of season, you're going to get more of a bland squash.
And now your spaghetti squash Alfredo, one way to make this is in the slow cooker, and you cook the Alfredo in there, it looks like, but you're also, in effect, baking the spaghetti squash in your slow cooker?
Yes. Spaghetti squash is one of those things that takes forever to roast in the oven. It's delicious, but it takes forever. And the slow cooker kind of really, it doesn't do it quickly, but it cooks it fully. I always have a hard time getting spaghetti squash to really cook all the way through. So the slow cooker is a really nice way to do that. And it's a very hands-off, and by the time it's done, it easily just, there's like no, handwork involved in it. By the time it's done, it's ready, and the strands really scrape out nice and easily.
And what do you use to strandify, if I can make up a verb, the spaghetti squash and make it noodle-like? Do you have a special tool, or can we just do that with a fork?
Oh, I just do it with a fork. No special tools for that one.
Great. You offer the slow cooker option. We can do it other ways, though, right?
Yeah, you can. You can also do it in the pressure cooker or the Instant Pot, as you might be more familiar with.
Now, the things you post on your blog and social media, as I mentioned earlier, they all look beautiful and delicious. Now, do you have sometimes the experimental phases where you make a meal and, maybe tastes okay, but it doesn't look so good?
Absolutely. Food can be a really tricky thing to make look as delicious as it tastes. So there's definitely a lot of challenges, cheese and things, they can all be really hard. Really hard subjects to photograph and make look really, really delicious. But like I said, adding a simple pop of color, whether that's using parsley or, something, a fresh herb to bring a little brightness to the dish really helps.
Now, I have seen in my life some really bad food photography over the years, even in, like restaurant advertisements. Is there a secret to taking a good food picture?
I think if you can use natural light, that's really, so if you're by a window, that's really, really helpful. Overhead lighting is really, really pretty horrible for food, and it doesn't do it any good. So if you can use natural daylight, that's all I shoot in, and that is really, really helpful. And like I said, just pulling out those colors, figuring out what it is about the food that makes it look really good. Is it the cheese? Is it the vegetables, whatever it is, you want to figure out what makes that food look really good and try to highlight it best you can.
All right. I want to take our last couple few minutes here, Tegan, to talk about Super Bowl weekend. Lots of eating involved. Do you have thoughts on great foods to entertain with for an event like that?
Absolutely. You want to do all the hand foods, I feel like, for the Super Bowl. So, maybe that's, I just shared a new recipe actually for Cajun popcorn chicken. And that's obviously really, really easy. Or buffalo chicken pull apart bread. I also just shared that. So I feel like foods that, are really good for people to kind of pick at throughout the game. And then I also always make like a really nice snack mix. It could be like a Chex mix or, like a whole tray of a cheese platter tray or something like that, so that you can kind of, again, just be picking at things. I don't think you want a whole sit-down meal. That said, you could do a slow cooker recipe, like a chili or, like a really good hearty soup that people can, you know, take out throughout the day and be enjoying as well.
Now, one of my pratfalls when I entertain, which isn't that often, but I end up coming up with some plan that involves me still cooking and working on stuff while people are there. What do you do to plan things out so you make sure, you know, you can have the food ready to rock and just hang out with people?
Yeah, definitely. No, yeah, you don't want to do that. I like to prep most of my recipes completely in advance. So, you know, that you are, something is cooking in the oven as guests are arriving, or maybe you do have it in the slow cooker so that you are completely, like, the recipe's totally done and you don't have to do essentially anything, and you can allow people to serve themselves, especially for a Super Bowl party. It's really informal. So I think that's a great thing to do. And, yeah, just prepping as much as you can ahead of time, using recipes that maybe don't need to be cooked. So that's why, like, a cheese plate is really great, because you don't have to do anything. You can make it before your guests arrive and just set it out. So that's really nice.
Tegan, thanks a lot for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
That's Tegan Girard, a food photographer and stylist, recipe developer, and cookbook author. Her blog is called Half-Baked Harvest. We've been talking about her latest cookbook. It's called Half-Baked Harvest, Super Simple. More than 125 recipes for instant, overnight, meal-prepped, and easy comfort foods. We've got a few recipes that Tegan shared with us, a spaghetti squash Alfredo, broccoli cheddar soup with seasoned pretzels, and that mean green pizza. This one looks pretty good. You can find all of those and a lot of recipes from past editions of Food Friday at WPR.org/Food Friday.